And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket.
Dave, I know that this is something that you pay a lot of attention to. Who sets the rules? The world is run by rules. The international order is run by rules. The struggle is who sets the rules, who benefits from the rules. Whoever sets them benefits from them. And here in this country, we see that the Trump administration didn't like the old rules. They're setting the new rules. And it turns out, in the catchphrase that you sent me, that the 1% feels protected by the rules, the law,
but not bound by it.
But doesn't feel bound by them. But the 99% feel bound by the laws, but don't benefit from them. You hold to that, right?
Well, I thought it was a good observation by Professor Scott Galloway. I don't know if it originated with him, but increasingly we're seeing that. You know, there's that, it's not really a theory, it's being put in practice about the billionaires who want to set up these autonomous zones. One of them in Greenland, and they have some islands that they're toying with, where they want to be able to do what they please, whenever they please. And we even live in a society where, even if there aren't two sets of rules, the Trump people are willing to ignore rules. They're ignoring court orders. They're playing catch us if you can. They lie, and it's in some ways it's kind of always been like that, that the law was set up, he who makes the laws, are the ones who benefit from it. Mm-hmm. I always tell kids who are going to school, law school, that, the common law was set up first and foremost to protect the king. Mm-hmm. And secondly, to protect the church, so to speak, the wealthy, and the elites. And, we're kind of back to that. If it ever went away, it may never have gone away, but at least we had for a number of years a more equitable society of things, and now we really don't seem to.
But don't you think that the real message in the Epstein files is that it demonstrates that there's a bipartisan, nonpartisan, partisanship irrelevant group that rules the society, whatever the society is, certainly rules this society, and they rule through social connections. One hand washes the other. I do you favors, you do me favors. We got our people, our friends appointed to office. We get bills collected. We get our kids in school. We know each other. We schmooze with each other. We may disagree with each other, right, but we don't disagree greatly with each other. And that continuum extends from Steve Bannon on the right, apparently, to Noam Chomsky on the left in this country.
Yeah.
And I think that what the Epstein file shows is that it's always that way. Politics is almost an irrelevancy. Yeah, they have to come to policy agreements, They have to work out a way in which the various competing interests get satisfied. But it's all done in a friendly way. It's all done with a shake of the hands. They're all colleagues in a certain sense.
Yeah. And it's as you said, it encompasses the whole spectrum of the political arena.
And I think
We've
that's
had
Trump's
that.
strong point. I think that Trump makes that point and says that's no good. I'll solve that problem. And the weakness of the Democrats is they deny that. They say, no, it's not like that. It's not like that. Now, Trump is not going to solve the problem. Trump is part of that problem. Trump is exacerbating that problem. Trump is doing things that benefit the most wealthy in that group, and especially benefits the fossil fuel people. And now he's going to benefit the Bitcoin gamblers. And also the artificial intelligence people, to the detriment of the other parts of that group and of everybody else. But he's right in pointing his finger at the fact that that group exists. And the weakness of the Democrats strategically is that they are so afraid of discussing class struggle and the existence of classes that they deny that he's pointing his finger at the truth. And that is something that voters, no, is not wrong, is not right. They may not see that Trump is wrong in his solution, but they see that he's right in his analysis.
Well, you just hit upon it. Trump has a knack for pointing to things that are the problem, but his or our problem is that his solutions are the wrong solutions.
Exactly.
He could talk about undocumented aliens and getting rid of immigrants, but the way he's gone about and done it has awakened many in the American public as to this being contrary to how this country should operate.
Exactly.
Once they've seen the thuggishness of ICE, and you'll note that this week they kind of figured out, and of course Tom Homan was sent to figure this out, to Minnesota, that get us out of this mess. And they've done what one of the senators said during the Vietnam era: declare victory and then leave. And that's what they're doing. When things, in that arena. But there are other arenas about, what the wealthy get away with. And again, Trump, just turning a blind eye to it. His Justice Department, or his pardons of all these wealthy fraudsters.
All of whom play a lot of money to him for the pardon.
Yeah. And MAGA still, his cord still seems to believe that he's going to be able to do something for them, but his approval ratings are in the tank.
Right.
They're way, way down. I thought the last number was like 36%, which is pretty close to the being only the MAGA base and nothing else
And
on
it's the
things.
lowest of any president's approval rating that since
Yeah.
this kind of thing started getting rated.
Right. But there are the we continue to see like insider stock trading by congressmen and
We
senators.
continue, but did you see this week there was a hearing in the Congress? A member of the SEC appeared. And he was asked by one of the Congress people, you do condemn insider trading, and he wouldn't condemn it. He wouldn't condemn it. It's
No.
fantastic. It's what a
No.
brazenness,
And
what
these people
brazenness.
just keep getting recycled. Remember, Kelly Loeffler down in Georgia lost her primary when she was running for Senate. They thought she was a shoo-in because of her insider trading. And she's appointed to a high-ranking post in the Trump administration.
Right.
No qualms about giving her something. This week, we were talking about before the show, the former president of the University of Pennsylvania, who left in disgrace because she couldn't condemn anti-Semitism, outright. Now she's going to become the head of Georgetown Law School.
Well, there you go.
And now they continue to try to get some people. There were some congressional hearings this week. There was a fellow they were trying to get appointed to an important, State Department post. And
I think it's a post. The guy I'm thinking about that you're mentioning is the guy who's in charge of, who will be in charge of relations with international organizations.
Yeah, but he's not going to get through the Senate. I mean, he was talking about white supremacy and
just because he's white, a white supremacist and an anti-Semite and a homophobe, you think he won't get through?
Yeah. And the thing, of course, is he doesn't think he is. he just thinks he's espousing white supremacist theories, and there's nothing about them. But who knows what he'll show up and get. Although there have been a few people that have been, I don't want to say disciplined, but have lost some of their standing. Attorney Martin, who was supposed to be, working on the pardons and things, but he was also supposed to be working on getting Democrats indicted, lost a lot of his favor with the administration. And speaking of getting people indicted, the six senators and congressmen who told the military, made a video saying the military should not follow illegal orders. They couldn't get an indictment against them. another major failure of the administration. So when some of the people get a chance to speak, the ordinary people, you get a different outcome. You get a different outcome. But they continue to keep trying on things. And then, and we see also the arrogance of people. The Pam Bondi's testimony this week in front of the House was just out. It was something totally outrageous. She didn't come prepared to answer any of their questions. She just came prepared to attack each one individually. She actually had a book, a burn book that had the points that she wanted to make. Wouldn't acknowledge the Epstein victims. Instead, wanted to talk about the stock market.
What I don't understand about her appearance was that one of the things she did, the Senate, the congressmen have the right to look at the unredacted Epstein files. The ones that the Department of Justice releases, they've been redacted. But the Congress, in other words, the names are crossed out. The congressmen have a right to see the unredacted files. Apparently, the Department of Justice is snooping on what the congressmen are looking at. They are clocking their search through the records and making a record of what it is they're searching for. And Pam Bondi had a record of what one of the congresswomen had searched for just the day before. Now, why is the Justice Department allowed to spy on the congressman's research? How does that work? Whoever did that?
Yep.
I mean, Jay Mahoney used to do things like that.
Yes.
But,
Well, the FBI was the one doing the spying, I believe, with Kash Patel. But
Well, but J. Edgar Hoover was fell into great disrepute because he wasn't supposed to do that. It was regarded as a horrible thing, un-American, terrible.
Yeah, but these folks think that even if they're caught, that there'll be no consequence.
That's right, and there probably will be no consequence.
Right, and again, they're just, you know, there's so many things that have occurred. Like Steve Bannon said, the zone has been flooded that you can't keep up with them.
Yeah.
It's every day there's something else, but there are, you know, signs. There are signs that things are changing. We've talked about all of the interim elections that have been held across the country in red states and in blue states. And in virtually every single one, the Democrats have overperformed, and not just by a little, but by a lot. This week, there was a state House seat in Oklahoma, in a district that Trump won by 60 points. And the Democrat won it by 16 points, a 76% shift or swing. That kind of thing is just unheard of.
Yeah.
And the Republicans are starting to panic. They don't have an answer because the people have seen that they haven't made affordability any easier, and that they're off on all these tangents. The other thing that seems to be a saving grace is the fact that the Trump people, we knew that they were unqualified in so many ways, are proving to be so inept at doing things. Things that are supposed to be kept secret come out. Things that they're supposed to try to do, that they're unsuccessful in doing. Like I said, the indictments of the senators and congressmen. And then they've passed this, or they're trying to pass this SAVE Act to restrict voting. It went through the House, but barely. And it's failed in the Senate. And Republican senators are starting to realize we don't want this because it's going to cut out a lot of our base, prevent a lot of our people from voting in the red states. As if they didn't think this
through.
That
really is a stupid, a sign of great stupidity, because their strategy is to keep people from voting. That, in the end, that's what they want to do, keep people from voting. So the SAVE Act says you have to show up with a passport or a birth certificate to prove you're an American citizen if you want to vote. And it turns out, of course, that half the country doesn't have passports. And married women who change their names can't prove who they are, can't prove their citizenship with their birth certificate because they got a different name on the birth certificate. Doesn't prove who they are. So does it take a genius to know that?
It shouldn't.
These guys are dumb.
Yeah, well, they've gotten so caught up in this idea, and they've sold the idea that we need voter IDs, but the act that they passed makes it, you know, as you said, impossible for people to vote. So they, you know, the IDs are just, you know, almost irrelevant to what they have. And of course, they also want to go against mail-in voting. Even though a lot of Republican areas depend on mail-in voting.
Trump mailed in his vote.
Yes. Again,
and
good for me, but
voting,
not,
are the troops going to be able to vote? Are they going to disenfranchise the troops?
Yeah.
They will, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Right. You know, troops voting goes back to the Civil War, where Lincoln was reelected in 1864, basically because of the votes of the troops.
That's right. But it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I have a feeling that what Trump has up his sleeve is some way to cancel the election through a, you know, phony national emergency. Now, there's no law that says you can cancel an election because of a national emergency. There's no war that caused the election to be canceled. And in the Civil War,
right,
Lincoln didn't cancel the election, even though he thought he would lose. He thought he would lose.
Right.
But he still had World the War, election.
Right. World War II, where there were 15 million men outside of their own election districts.
Right.
And they... And they, you know, they were able to vote,
but that won't stop again, Trump if he can figure out the make some kind of a cockamamie argument.
Yeah. Now there's all sorts of, you know, again, incompetence, and it really starts from the top. We have this situation in Michigan, where there's a vacant Senate seat up for election, or it's not vacant, but it's going to be vacated. And governor's race that are hotly contested. And Trump has stated that he's going to put the kibosh on a new bridge that's already been built between Michigan and Ontario. It was paid for by the Canadians, but Trump doesn't want it open because he wants to set, there's a competing bridge that exists that isn't nearly as good. It's a toll bridge that's the revenues go to one of his billionaire buddies and contributors.
I don't understand that. There's a private toll bridge someplace in America?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, I knew that was true in the colonial days. I didn't know we had it now.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, how is that going to help those Republican candidates? Right. The first thing they're going to be asked is, in a debate is, do you support the president or do you support opening the bridge?
Right.
And, you know, if they go against the president, he's going to come down against them, tell people not to vote for them. But, you know, his personal, you know, personal interest, particularly monetary interests, all come before everything in this administration.
And, you know, there's another example of stupidity, because every single study that's ever been done shows that the more roads you build, the more traffic fills up those roads. You don't alleviate traffic by building new roads. That's not what does it. So if this bridge does open, there's every possibility that that bridge will be full and the existing bridge will be full. Trump's buddy won't lose a nickel. It, of course, it'll make life easier for the people going to work and for businesses getting their stuff back and forth to Canada.
Yeah.
That'll happen. But I guess nobody on the Trump team has ever read any study about traffic conditions.
All they read about is the contributions that these people make to the Trump campaign.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, there's comprehensive stupidity here. That's our saving grace, I think.
Yeah, we knew that there was that stupidity going into it. Remember we talk about kakistocracy?
Yes.
This is a good example of that. And by the way, the tariffs were with Canada were another example of, you know, stupid things. Look what happened to the liquor industry in Kentucky when the Canadians retaliated.
Right.
Exactly. A deep red state. But, you know, the beat goes on and on and on.
But there's one set of rules that Trump has attacked at the behest of his donors, which is really quite dangerous, and which I think merits his nomination as a genuine, not a war criminal, but a man who has committed crimes against humanity. And that is that this week, he canceled the scientific ruling that undergirds all of the climate change regulations in America, by saying that the ruling, the scientific finding that greenhouse gases are harmful to humans is not valid and it will no longer exist, even though since that finding was put into the code, more and more and more scientific evidence has shown how correct it is. And that means you're not going to have the ability to protect water. You're not going to be able to end the tailgate emissions of gasoline-driven cars. You're not going to be able to end the air pollution of coal mines and power plants. And this affects not just the United States. This affects the whole world. The whole world.
Yeah. Well, you know, the old saying, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
No. No.
And but they think they can.
But they probably really believe that there's no such thing as a bad effect. They may actually believe it. These are monumentally ignorant and stupid people besides being greedy.
Yeah, and there was another study that came out this week that showed the increase in temperature in the Earth was far greater than they thought.
Right.
The rate of increase is far greater than what they had predicted. But again, it's, you know, trying to say, you know, go back to Lincoln, you know, how many legs does a horse have if you count the tail? The answer is it's still only four. The tail isn't a leg. This beat goes on and on and on. And, you know, the consequences are mainly felt by ordinary people who, you know, who can't get away with things. The super wealthy just say we're going to move to someplace else. You know, the heck with you, you know. If you live near a refinery or you live near a chemical factory, too bad.
Yeah. Yep.
Too bad. So we're, you know, we'll just, you know, have to see. You know, before we leave, I want to, you know, Pennsylvania politics, there have been a couple of things. I think there's a concerted effort to emphasize the rift between the two highest Democratic officials in the state, Governor Shapiro and Senator Fetterman. It's well known that there's no love lost between them, but we keep seeing articles that emphasize the rift. But I have no doubt that, you know, they may not like each other, but they're not going to vote Republican on those things. I have a suspicion, since the progressives are upset with Fetterman, that he might get a challenge from Larry Krasner, the DA in Philadelphia, who this week said he's not going to run against the mayor. But I think he has further ambitions, but that's only my suspicion on that. And I do want to note one thing, that this week, my friend, Representative Eddie Day Paschinski from down in Wilkes-Barre area, announced that he's not going to run again. He's been there for 10 terms. He was going to run, and then he decided he wasn't. That's an important seat for the Democrats to keep, but Eddie Paschinski is the kind of guy you want in government, that he realized that government is there to help people. And by people, he means everybody, and to do the right thing rather than just line your own pockets, you know, like the insider trading is doing Congress. That isn't Eddie Paschinski. He's a pro-union guy, he's still going to be there till the end of the year, but his vote and his contribution and his dedication to his constituents is going to be missed.
All right, with that, we got to stop, because although the Trump people can make up the rules and do whatever they want, ignore them, we can't ignore the clock. The clock rules, that's right.
Happy, well, I guess belated Valentine's Day, and it's President's Weekend.
Happy birthday,
Mr. Lincoln. Washington's birthday. It used to be Washington's birthday, but now it's just the President's Weekend, so.
See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.